All right, something missing. Do you ever feel like there's something missing in your life? Mm-hmm. Anybody there? Mm-hmm. There's just something missing in my life. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger quite on it. And yet, I'm always searching for it. You know, I'm always trying to find that. What is it missing in my life? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, this story here is the story of a young man. And one account of the gospel talks of him as being a rich young man. And you've heard, some of you may have heard this story before. But this morning, let me ask you another question. What would you change in your life if you could change it? What would you change in your life if you had a chance to change it? Maybe it's some of your past. Maybe it's something you know right now that something physical. Somebody share with me. What is one thing in your life you might change if you could? Anybody?
My metabolism.
Your metabolism. Okay. All right. So something physical.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Same thing. Hey, physical.
Physical. Okay.
Migraines.
All right.
Too much blood and all that, of course.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else?
High blood pressure.
High blood pressure, yeah. All right. Anybody else? What if I told you you can? Because the Bible says, in Christ, what? We can do all things. But there's a place that God wants us to realize that just as you'll find in this story, that we have to have faith to trust Him. And we have to surrender our will to His will. The Lord's Prayer is what? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed means you're putting God above everything else, above your health, your situation. Hallowed be thy name.
Thy
kingdom come, not our kingdom, right? What we think, what our realm of what we think a kingdom is in our world, our own little world. How many has lived in their own little world? Thy will be done, not our will, right?
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. So look at these scriptures here in Mark 10, and Jesus is teaching. He just shared in about Jesus. He blessed the little children. And look down to verse 17. And He said, everybody there, 10 and 17, and as He was sitting out on a journey, that's Jesus, a man ran up to Him and knelt before Him and began asking Him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Anybody know what this life, this word life means? Penny, share, Zoe. Life, eternal life.
Eternal life, I used to think of eternal life as like we get eternal life when we get saved. So kind of like taking a rubber band and nailing it to this wall and then stretching it into eternity.
Mm.
That's what I thought of eternal life. But the word eternal means no beginning and no end. So eternal life means that it's life without a beginning or without an end. There's only one thing or one person in the entire world without beginning or end, and that's God. So it's literally the life that is in God. So,
that's good. So in other words, if we drill a line across, that thing would be infinitive, wouldn't it? It'd go
mm-hmm.
on and on and on and on and on and on and on forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long life, isn't it? So this guy, he says a man. In one translation, it says a young man. Matthew called him a young man in that translation. And he come before the Lord Jesus and he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth up. And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, One thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. But at these words his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were even more astonished and said to him, Then who can be saved? Looking up to them, Jesus said, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Now, first point is, what shall we do? Look at this word, inherit. Mm-hmm. Inherit the kingdom or the eternal life. He said, what did I do to inherit eternal life? Matthew's version says obtain. I looked this word up and it was interesting to me because it's a little deeper. And the word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but I'm going to share what it says over here if I didn't lose my pages. And the Greek. It's a Greek word and it's K-L-A-Y-R-O-N-O-M-E-H-O.
Kleronemeo?
There you go. Sounds good to me. But it means to be an heir. And it comes also from this word, from the base of getting by a portion, sharing a lot. In other words, and it also comes from like this other word, which says that it's like cutting out a lot for somebody. In other words, if you're inheriting some land or something, and there's a portion, okay, of that, it's like a portion. And like, say, your father owned this big plot of land or whatever. And you're cutting out a your part, it comes out of that. All right? So when you think about this, it makes it clearer because this young man was all about possessions of the world. And what he saw as the kingdom, as eternal life, was that of the flesh, because he looked at what?
What he's going to get.
What am I going to get? What am I going to receive when I want eternal life, but yet I'm wanting it. Somebody going with me here. As an heir, you know, I want to know what I'm going to get. What am I going to receive out of this? So the inheritance that he's looking at, his goal was more on the obtaining than the purpose. It's more receiving than the true purpose of what eternal life is about. And when we seek things out of our own desires, there's something that can never be filled. It's a void. Even though you might receive something tangible, all right, something of wealth, whether it's land or someone in your family gives you something, you know, it's the whole purpose behind eternal life is not receiving.
It's giving.
It's giving.
That's right.
So see, his whole concept of eternal life was skewed. His whole life from a young man was skewed. Now let's look further on down to what it says. Although this man was young, Matthew called him a young man, so we can be assured that he was wealthy. He's healthy, you know, he's a young man, he had his health. In Luke's account, he called him a ruler, a young ruler. So to be a ruler, you had to be what? You had to be wealthy, right? So he had wealth, he was young, he was vibrant, he was still healthy.
And power.
He had power because he was a ruler. So what was he seeking, really? Something more, something, what can I receive more?
Didn't satisfy him.
It wasn't satisfied, you see. He was never satisfied. And so he's coming to the Lord, and when he's calling him teacher, he don't know that Jesus was what? The Son of God. Mm-hmm. He's still just like the other Jews, and he was caught up in the fact that he's a good teacher. Well, what does Jesus reply? And I don't want to get ahead of myself, because you see, sometimes our love and desires are more for material things, and that can be one of the most dangerous things in our lives. When we begin to start seeking things that are material, materialism, guess what? You can't never get enough. It's just like an addict. I know when I was stoned or when I was going through and I wanted drank one beer, I wanted another one. I wanted another one. It don't matter if you're an alcoholic or whatever it is. You can never feel that craving, that void. You can get to a certain place, and it doesn't matter if it's money, wealth, riches, whatever, your health, but there's still something missing. There's something missing in our life, and that's what the young man didn't understand. You see, sometimes our love and desire is more on that. Proverbs 10:20 says, "The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little." There's something missing, and where is it? Where is it? It's inside of us. There's something we need to feel, and we don't even realize it most of the time. There's something deep down inside of us, and like that song says, we were singing this morning.
Deep in my soul is a tug of war. I'm wondering what this life is for.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I try so hard to stay in control. Mm-hmm. And hold back the tears and not let go.
And yeah. But what does it go on and say? It starts talking about the heart. Will you worship Him? Will you bow down before? Is He your Lord? Is He your King? Is He your everything? You see, this young man, he didn't have that. He didn't understand that. Now let's look on further in the scriptures here. You see, although the old saying, money can't buy love, anybody ever heard that? Money can't buy love, but love. But most are thinking the other part of it. But it sure does help. Right? We've all been there. Is anybody going to be honest? Mm-hmm. Money can't buy love, but it sure does help, the old saying says. Well, does it really? Does it really? You see, the heart desires something much more than what material things can give us. We've all been there. God's not worried about what you've been through, where you've been. He's worried about where you're going. And He wants you to understand that these riches and things that are temporal, that high that you used to feel if you got high on drinking or drugs or any of that stuff, guess what? It only lasts a short time, don't it? It only lasts a short time. You can build up all the wealth, all the riches that you want. And it's one day, what?
All gone.
It's all gone. So eternal life is much more than just inheriting something. It's way much more than like this young man thought it was. You see, the heart wants what the heart wants, don't it? So today I want to ask you, where's your heart? Where's your heart? And Ephesians 4:8 says that they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And it goes on, it says, we judge everyone around us, and even those we don't know, by an outward appearance. And so, you see, the way others look, we judge them, and we think, well, you know, I can look like that. I wished I had a BMW. I wished I had a house like that, don't we? We look at the material things, and we want what we don't have. Mm-hmm. And we're always trying to fill those voids. This young man had all that. He had it all. And he's still young in his age. He, you know, but there was still something missing. Something missing. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, so be careful not to jump to conclusions before the Lord returns as to whether someone is good servant or not. When the Lord comes, He will turn, I like this, He will turn on the light so that everyone can see exactly what each other of us is really like, deep down in our hearts. Then everyone will know why we have been doing the Lord's work. At that time, God will give to each one whatever praise is coming to Him. At that time, it's not what you're getting right now. It's going to come a time, though, that when we stand before the Lord, He's going to turn that light switch on. It's all going to be revealed. And 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, in the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if we were peering at His reflection in a poor mirror. But someday, we're going to see Him in His completeness, face to face. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred, but then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. Mm. You see, the fact of the matter is that until we're all filled with the presence of an almighty God in our hearts and have that personal relationship with Jesus, there's always a void there. There's always a void there. And we're looking for things out of the flesh and the carnal mind, just like the rich young ruler. Now, Jesus also pointed out here that the young man, in no certain terms, this young man was really didn't know Jesus by saying he was a teacher. He had probably heard that, you know, the miracles and everything that, you know, Jesus' ministry, but he really didn't know Him. And Jesus said, why do you say I'm good? He called him a good teacher. He said, why do you say I'm good? You see, Jesus skipped right over. Look at these. I want you to show you something here that God showed me. In 19, it says, you know the commandments. What does that mean? You see, this guy was religious. He knew the commandments, he said. Jesus told him, you know the commandments. He said, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And this is what I want you to hear. Never noticed this till this last time. Why did Jesus skip the first 5 commandments and the last one? Look at that. Anybody know the first 5? Anybody want to hear the first 5 commandments? Mm-hmm. Anybody know where it is?
Deuteronomy 5, right?
Deuteronomy 5. Listen to this. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first one. Mm-hmm. Did this young man have any other gods before him?
Yeah, money.
You shall not make yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven, above or on the earth, beneath or in the water under the earth. Did he have any idols?
Money.
Okay. Greed. You shall not worship them or serve them. Think about it. And then he goes on, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The last one, he's observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those five. And then the last one that you don't see that Jesus quotes is,
or didn't quote,
you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servants, or his male servant, his ox, his donkey. In other words, covetousness.
Wanting what you don't have.
Wanting what you don't have. Now, why didn't he say all those? Because you see, God knows the intent of our heart. He knew, Jesus already knew that he hadn't fulfilled none of these. What was the young man's response? He said, Teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth up. You see, right there, he thought he was, I'm the heir. I'm going to inherit this. I've kept all these things. You see, the voice of reasoning set in this young man's mind. And from a young age, he began to practice the things that he thought was right. He began to serve his own God, and that was money. He began to fill his own void. It became his idol. It became all these things that Jesus didn't quote to him because he didn't want to rub it in his face. He didn't. That's not the way God is. He gives us free will. He gives us a choice. And so, you see, Jesus didn't quote those. And so he says, good teacher, I've done all these for my year. And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. You see, to follow Jesus, sometimes you got to give it up. You got to give everything that you think that you to follow him. What did he tell his disciples, Peter, when he says, "Come follow me. Take up this cross." To take up the cross of Christ means to die to self. You can't live this life thinking that it's all about you. This whole concept of Christianity is based on giving. That's what Jesus is trying to tell him here. You see, it's not about what you receive, it's about what you give. The treasures in heaven is what you should be seeking. Not that it's by works, you see. The whole thing of the concept, this young man thought it was by works, by good deeds. I've done these things, Lord. I honored my father and my mother. I ain't killed nobody. I ain't even committed adultery. He justified all these five, but left out the other five. But see, God wants it all. He asked us to give it all. Just as Jesus gave on the cross. The young man at this point when Jesus quoted these commandments' response was that of a foolish, prideful, self-righteous young man. Righteousness is what? We've been learning this in discipleship that we had. What is righteousness? Penny?
Being right with God. The only way you're right with God is by having faith in God, trusting everything that's important to you, including yourself, to God.
Okay. Did this young man have that?
No.
Did he have any faith in anything other than himself
and money?
I don't think so. Self-righteousness. I have done, he said. I want you to concentrate on that. I have done. See, he come to Jesus on his works, his own good deeds. And see, that voice of reasoning had begun. And he began to believe that, you know, I've done all these things. He just, how many knows that it's easy to get caught up in the leaving the other five out.
He picked and chose
which one he wanted to fulfill. not what God said to do. Mm-hmm. Well, you might say, well, Pastor Ronnie, that's Old Testament. Well, what did Jesus say? I didn't come to change
the law,
but to fulfill it. He made it actually another level. Mm-hmm. He said, speaking on adultery, what? It ain't about just if you went and slept with that other woman or that other man. He said, if you look upon that woman with lust, you've sinned. You've fallen short. Mm-hmm. You see, this whole concept, this young man, he thought he had completed, even though at this point in time, you know, he hadn't committed adultery, but yet his lust was that of money. It was that of foolish pride and what I can obtain, my inheritance, what I have done, he said. There's Isaiah 14:12. Anybody know anything about what that is? Isaiah 14:12 talks of the fall of Satan. Anybody know who Satan was before he became the prince of this world?
Lucifer
was his a name. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's, I'm going to read that. But what was he before that?
The archangel. That's right. He was an angel.
He was an angel.
And he was the leader of all music. And he was the most beautiful angel of all.
That's what the Bible says. That in God's eyes, he was the most beautiful of all the angels. And listen to what happened to Satan. 14:12 says, how have you fallen from heaven, morning star? This morning star is Lucifer, is Satan. At that time, son of the dawn, it says, you have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low in the nations, you said in your heart, I will descend to heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost high of Mount Zavar. I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Mm-hmm. You see that? But it goes on and says, but you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the deep of the pits. You see, when he chose free will to say, I'll be like God. It's the same thing as fallen man in our lives. He was right then and there. He chose and he was separated from God. He was cast out of heaven
to the earth.
So see the resemblance here? When we think we can do this on our own, we talk about this in Celebrate Recovery all the time, don't we? We talk about, I admit that I can't do this on my own. This young man, he finally come to a place where he wanted something more, but he still had the big I in there instead of the big he. The big H. I told Alton the other day when he first come around the Lord, we were sitting in the jail, and I said, listen, you got to take the big I out and put the big H in him. He has to be the one. He has to be the one. It's not you. It's not I. You can't do this on your own. Okay? But even when we're deceived and have reasoned in our own minds, Jesus still had compassion. Look at verse 21. I love this in Mark. This is why I chose Mark. Because the other translation didn't quote this, but it says, and he looked at him and felt what?
Love.
A love for him. And said to him, you see, even when we're lost... When our lives are in a mess, we may have the big I, it's all about me, I want to do this, Jesus still loves us. He still loves us and has compassion. And he had compassion for this young man. I love that, you know, and it shows God's love. is still more about giving than receiving. You see, Jesus wanted to give him that love. He wanted to share with him that love, but he said, this one thing you're lacking. So what does he do? He offers him a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No other can go to have eternal life to the Father except through Christ. And you got to remember that now. So, but look at verse 23. How Jesus says it's about how hard it can be and almost impossible to enter the kingdom of God and receive eternal life. You see, especially when our hearts are not in that of giving. Look at this. It says how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Why? You say, well, what do you mean? We got to be dirt poor? Do we have to be, you know, starving to death? No, that's not what he's saying. Wealthy, meaning in our own minds, in our own thoughts of what wealth is. A lot of people think wealth is going to get them everything they need, everything they deserve. But the truth of the matter is, like Jesus says, it's still not going to fill your void. It's still not going to fill that emptiness in your heart. There's still something missing. And Jesus says, he uses an analogy that they understood. Does anybody understand that about the eye, the needle, the camel entering in? It's like, what does that mean? Well, in that time, in that period where they were at, there was this wall and this big gate, okay? And this door they called the eye of the camel.
The eye of the needle.
And the eye of the needle was just big enough to where maybe a small person could go through, but a camel, there was no way that camel could hardly, as big as a camel is, get down and go through that. So see, he brought it around to where they're understanding. Mm-hmm. But what God's wanting you to do today is understand in your perspective. What is your... Boy, have you ever tried to thread a needle with a bigger thread you're poking at it, and what happens? It just folds up and it won't go through there, will it? It's like, this is crazy, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. That's what God's saying. When your heart is like that, when your heart is like that, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You're not going to understand. You're not going to enter in. He uses so many analogies. He talks about the gates and over in another place and how wide the gate and few and all that. Things in our lives just are constantly keeping us from the true riches of life. Our perspective is most of the time hardly ever God's, is it? Mm-hmm. Because we're in this flesh body, and Paul talks about what? We're waging war against what? The flesh and the body, and this thing it never changes. Even when we become born again, there's a struggle. You know, like that song we sung, there's a tug of war. There's always something, and we're battling this thing. So what are we doing? We're trying to always feel it. We're always trying to find it, whether it's in a spouse or a woman or a man or, you know, money or wealth, our children, whatever it might be. And if we look at it on the perspective of God and not on selfish things and self-righteousness, he's saying the riches that we can receive one day far outweigh what we can obtain now. And this young man didn't understand that. Now let me close with this. But 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." The concept of giving, what is the definition of love?
giving of yourself for the benefit of another.
The giving of ourself for the benefit of another. I don't know about y'all, but before Christ entered my life, it was all about me. It was love was more what I can get.
Mm-hmm. It's love me.
Love me, right? That's the concept of the worldly mindset. What can I get? What can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that's not the whole... Jesus summed it up. He said... They asked him, what commandments? His disciples. He said, these two. Everything rests. And I'm using a different word. On these two. To what? Not love the Lord thy God.
With all your heart,
with all your heart, soul,
mind, and strength.
And your strength. And
love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So on these two things. So what does that mean then? When we learn the concept of giving of ourselves for the benefit of another, we're becoming identified with Christ, right? Because Jesus was the example. When he gave his life for you and I so that we can have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this young man didn't understand that. It was all on the concepts of me. Give me. I want this. I need this. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is saying that's not it.
That's right.
That's not it. The whole concept is identifying with Christ, that he willingly laid his life down because he loved you. While you were yet a sinner,
yes,
you do not deserve eternal life. This young man didn't deserve eternal life.
But Jesus wanted to give it to him anyway.
He wanted to give it to him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He had compassion. He had love for him. And he still, when another, he said, when the concept of Christ is, you know, to love those who despitefully use you. Pray for those people who, you know, abuse you. Those people who are hurting you. And that's not the concept in our minds, is it?
No.
It's like, you know, we're going to fight back. We're going to, this is all about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally Greek, like the word I couldn't pronounce earlier, to us. But when we break it down in the simplicity of the identifying with Christ, then we start to understand, okay, he wants me to walk that extra mile with this guy. He wants me to take the shirt off my back and give it to him. If God says this, you need to do it. You know, if Jesus says go, you lack one thing. That is take all your money and give it to the poor. If this young man had just understood, you can't outgive God. If he'd have done that, guess what? God would have blessed him. He'd probably had 10 times more. If God wanted to, he could have blessed him and give him every bit of it back and then some, and he usually will. But even if God doesn't choose to, there's a reason. But our reasoning is that, no, I don't want to give my, you know, I don't know. I got to do, you know, I got to hold on to this thing because it's dear to me. God says, let go of it this morning. God's saying, let go of that one thing that's keeping you separated from me. And I'm going to ask you this morning, just straight out. If Jesus was here this morning, what commandments would he miss on you? Which one of those might he skip? Just not to put guilty condemnation on you. Like he did the young man here. Is anybody here? Is anybody with me? Is there something that God's trying to say? Well, we forget about that. Oh, well, that's old covenant. Well, is it? To be in covenant relationship, what we're supposed to be with Christ, what does it mean? It's like a marriage, isn't it? Concept of marriage is, most of the time, I wrote this down. Let me make sure I quote it right. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I was trying to think of his name. He said, marriage is not made by love. Love is made by marriage. Think about that. In other words, It's like Christ. When we enter into it, you don't even have to understand. You don't have. It's a faith thing. To be saved is by the grace of God and by faith receiving Him. And if we, like the example of being married in a covenant, what do? Two become one, right? Is there just all of a sudden everything about that person love and, oh, I just love you? No. It all happens over a time, doesn't it? A period of time. And it's the same thing with God. Being transformed takes what? You got to be plugged in. It's like a transformer. It don't work unless you're plugged in. And unless you're into God and you understand these principles and what God means when He's talking about love and honor and all the things, the commandments of God, it's not that you're He's going to be the God and He's going to crack the whip on you. You love Him enough to you want to do those things, right? I mean, you desire because you understand the principle is that if I do these things, greater rewards than I can receive right now. Eternal purpose. That's what God's always looking at. Eternal purpose. And the fall of man was that of same as what I read a while ago in Adam and Eve all the way back to the garden and reasoning that we can, it's okay, you know, to do this. You know, I don't think God really meant all that. How many know what I'm saying? There's things in your life that, and I'm as guilty as anybody. There's times that when, you know, I reason and say, well, I don't know, you know. I thought this morning of that when I was struggling to even get here, that commercial of that guy that he's sick. You ever seen the one and you hear the knock on the door. There's a little boy in a crib. And he's in that crib, and he's standing there, and the guy sticks his head in. I forget his name, but he says, maybe Jimmy or something. Hey, Jimmy, I just want to let you know I got to take a day off. And he shuts the door. It's a little baby in the crib. I was thinking this morning, you know, I kind of just like to be that little baby this morning. But, you know, God's called me to minister this morning, this word, and He shared this because somebody needs to hear me today. Trust me, I want you to understand that if you don't get this concept of what it means, like this young, listen what happens to him. He said, but as these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. He was more than grieved. He was broken. Because he had let that stronghold in life, that one thing that kept him separating from eternal life, he clenched on and held on to that one thing more than even God, even the concept of Christ's teaching that, listen, I can give you everything. That greed, that money, become way more to him. So he left like this with his head down. I don't know about that. I can't give that up, you know. He's talking about, that last commandment. That's going to church. I got to work that day, you know. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking anybody that has to work. But it says keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's the 10th commandment. Are we really doing that on a constant basis? Are we plugged in to where we're getting fed on a constant basis to where we understand what it means to be Christ-like in His likeness? Oh, Jesus, if He had just took that day off and said, well, you know what, I just don't know. I ain't feeling it today. I think I'll prop up over here on the rock. I ain't going to that cross. I ain't going over there. I know Chad's life depends on it. I know Kevin needs me. He needs to be healed. But he didn't. He said, I lay it all down willingly. I go to that cross because I love you. And this morning, if you're here and you've not experienced that, and if there's something, if you were standing before God right now, and He said, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think your answer would be? Well, I was a good old boy, you know. I'd done everything that I thought was right, and that ain't enough. It ain't enough. There's only one way, and that's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's through knowing that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you did stand before God, and He said, why should I let you into my heaven? The only one answer is because I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. You know, everybody wants a Savior. Oh, save me, Lord, save me. I'm in trouble. Oh, I got myself in a mess this time. I just, you know. But do you want a Lord? To have a Lord and to enter this kingdom He's talking about means surrendering all. I surrender all. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. But when you grab a hold of that, it's more than the conscious mind can grab a hold of. I'm telling you, it's something in here. It's spiritual. It's a heart thing. It's not a mind thing. You can't grab your mind around this thing. It don't make sense to those who are separated from God most of the time. But God's saying right now, I'm drawing you. I've come before you. There's a reason Jesus come before this young man. And it was His choice right there. Right then and there. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You may go out there on that highway today and smack. It's your last time. My sister was killed in a car automobile. I know, but I know one thing. She knew Jesus and she had accepted Him as her Savior and Lord. But we never know what tomorrow holds, what the next minute will hold. And so this morning, I want you to dig deep in your heart. And I want you to get real before God. And you know, this ain't just about coming here to church. And you may never come back. But God's called me to not to preach the uncompromised word. And that word is that He wants to set you free. He wants to make you whole. And there's something missing in your heart, in your life. There's nothing can fill it but Jesus. There's nothing in your life. And once you get a hold of it, oh my God. I know, I've experienced life and the life that this has, earthly things in as much fullness as anybody out there, of the fact of drugs and alcohol and women and sex, drugs and rock and roll. None of it. It's temporal. Every bit of it. When you leave here today, there's something God's wanting to do is change you. He's wanting to change your stinking thinking. And your stinking thinking is like this young man. Most of the time, it's selfishness. So today, I'm challenging you with this word. I'm asking you, don't be like the young ruler. And if you're born again already, repent. Ask God to show you the truth, because that's what sets you free. There's things that I myself, God shows me weekly, daily. Every time I get in His presence, Ronnie, I'm wanting to give that up. You know, it's killing you. It's destroying this, or it's doing this. It's separating you from me. And that's the walk, okay? That's the sanctification. That's the process. But you got to start somewhere. And staying plugged in is key. Listen to this now. Somebody said the other day, we were talking about getting a balance in life and priorities. Most of the time in our life, our priorities are skewed. They're like, whoa, way out of what God's really God is supposed to be balanced. Okay. I said, well, what is your priorities? And, well, the first thing was my family, my kids, my job, God, church, and on down the line. I said, you're out of balance. That's not right. What do you mean? My family comes first. I said, well, that's not good. He looked at me like I was crazy. He said, you mean to tell me your children wouldn't become first? I said, no. And your spouse. And I said, no.
If you are putting your spouse, your children, your jobs, your money, your home,
anything above God, your whole concept is skewed. It's out of balance. Your life is out of balance. And you're doing your children an injustice by putting them there. Hear me, this ain't easy for people. And letting go of certain things in our life are never easy because they're mine. But no, they're not. They're God's. Everything here is God's. Everything, your children, your spouse, it's God's. And when you come to understand that, and some of you are experiencing that, you have the children and they come become young adults like this young man, and you have to let them go. That's a hard thing, boy. When they're small, they're, you know, you've got your mama hen thing on, and that's all right. Love on them, but God has to be first. He has to be on top. Everything else falls in line then. Now, one of the main sore topics in church, and I don't even like to say religion because religion will send you to hell faster than anything. Trust this young man. He was religious. In other words, he knew the Word of God. He knew the commandments, but he chose and picked. Giving is one of the toughest things for Christians. Because why? We clench on. It's hard. You work hard for your money, don't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, in here, know what I'm saying? I mean, I work hard for my money. I don't know about all that giving. And you've probably never heard me preach on money here. If you have, I don't remember it. Maybe I bring it up a time, but we have an offering, and it's on the wall over there in a box. And if you give, God's going to bless you. That's what I say. It says, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. God will give back to you. But the concept is one thing, but really knowing the intent of the heart. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 9:7. I'll close with this. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudging, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Was this guy a cheerful giver?
No.
Was it out of necessity? Probably. Yes and no. In his mind, he wanted more, but he really didn't need more anyway. He was rich. But yet, there's never enough, is it? Giving of yourself for the benefit of others, that's a hard one for some people. For me, being vulnerable, being able to have trust, and because I was hurt, I was broken, and I'm still being mended with a lot of things. I'm a work in progress. I say it every week in Celebrate Recovery and in the jail ministry and everywhere I go. But again, God wants you to live life. Jesus said in John 10:10, you know, yeah, Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's always at work. He said, but I've come so you can have life and have it more abundantly. Not only more abundantly, for everlasting. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. That gives me an assurance that no matter what, if I lose everything I got, I'm still blessed. God's going to provide a way. He's going to provide for you. And if you trust God enough, one thing this young man couldn't do, surrender that which was most precious to him. And it was, in this case, wealth. Money. So today, I don't know, there might be something in your life that you're hanging on to. Your own pride, your own thoughts of, if I let my guard down, this, you know, somebody sees me this way, vulnerable, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Real men don't cry. I mean, you experience that. I know my background, you come up, you're tough. You don't cry. You might even heard it from people that's relatives or whatever. Suck it up, son. Real men don't cry. Well, it's all right, because God is the healer. Today, if you're here and you want to find the truth and be free, let's just all close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, your word, it says it cuts both ways like a two-edged sword. Now, even in the hardest of hearts, Lord, this is all about a heart transformation. A heart. I pray that someone here today would have a heart transplant. God, that our thoughts would be on everything that you speak in your word. God, out of obedience and not just another form of pleasing this world or ourselves or someone else in this room. Search deep within all of our hearts. As you lay your hands on certain things in our life, give us the strength, Father, to surrender that which is holding us back from the fullness and the joy and the contentment, the fruit of your Spirit. If you're in here today, I want you to be honest before the Lord, not before me or anybody else in this room. If this message somehow is ministered to you, I want you just to acknowledge it before the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord today, you can't know Him. The Bible says it is written, these things I have written unto you that you may know. And today you can know. In Romans it says, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's our choice, our will. This young man had to call upon the name of the Lord. He chose to bow his head and walk away because that one thing was more precious than the truth of eternal life and that which would, he had to do on his part. Now, if you're here today, it's time. Your part is to surrender. And I want you to acknowledge that. If you want to lift your hands, that if that's you, you can do that today. I'll pray for you. But you have to ultimately be the one to do that. If you're embarrassed to do that, that's okay. Come up and talk to us afterwards, me or Penny. We'd love to share not what I know, but what God says in His Word about the truth. Now, if there's something in your life that you want to surrender to, and there's something that God's laying His hands on, I want you to just raise your hand because I want to pray for you. I want to pray over you. If that one thing is something that God is really, you're struggling with that one thing, the only way you can do that is to reach out for Him today. Reach out for Him today. That's it. Hands are up. Lord, we surrender all. God, not my will, but your will, Lord. May your strength be powerful right now. Lord, may somebody reach down in the bottom of their heart and let that one place that has been calloused over be soft and pliable with your love and your compassion. Jesus, fill every believer in this room. And for those who are struggling, God, Lord, show them your power. That dunamis power of Acts 1 that you said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, let everyone grab hold of that today. In Jesus' name I pray. And I believe, God, that today lives are touched and changed. Not by me or this word, but Lord, because of you and who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now begin to thank Him. It's by faith. You've got to believe and you will receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.